Blog Talk Radio.
I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's gonna be a bright, sunshiny day. Gonna be a bright, sunshiny day. I think I can make it now, the pain is gone. All of the bad feelings have disappeared. Here is that rainbow I've been praying for. Gonna be bright, sunshiny day.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay, and welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexities of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my guests and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. If you have any questions or comments you'd like to make during this broadcast while we're live, you can email me at bonk@aol.com. That's bonk@aol.com. A few weeks ago, as my show returned, I was very fortunate to have one of my wonderful support group members, Susan, join our show. I've had the pleasure of meeting Susan on several different occasions at our healing weekends, and she has always impressed me as being a wonderful, compassionate, strong woman who has greatly suffered, but who really shares with other people to try to relieve them from their suffering. And Susan and I were having some wonderful conversation here, and our time ran out, so I asked her if she'd be willing to come back to the show because there was so much more to discuss, and she was gracious enough to say yes. And I think by sharing people's stories, this is a little bit different with the format that I'm using right now, because I'm very fortunate that members of my support network are willing to sit and share their stories with you. You know, you hear a lot from professionals and you hear a lot from therapists in the past on this show, but actually hearing from people who have lived this experience, I feel is very helpful in making connection to other women who are living this nightmare and talking to our women on how they're surviving it and things that help them move on and get past and what the issues really are. And most of all, because the recovery for recovering from marriage to a gay man is just so different than anything else or anyone else can understand except those who are going through it. So hopefully Susan's words tonight will help you as we continue our conversation. So Susan, thank you so much for coming back tonight.
Oh, you're more than welcome, Bonnie. I love you so much, and
whatever I can do that's within my power to help you and all of the women out there that have gone through such a disastrous experience, whatever little tidbit of information that I have that I could use to help them, I'm more than willing to do so.
Thank you so much. So let's just, you know, recap for people who may not have heard the show or even those who did a few weeks ago. You were married for how long to a gay man?
For 15 years, was with him for almost 17, but married for 15.
Which is a long time, right?
Well, yeah, definitely it's a long time. And, of course, one of the things I know that amongst so many other things that are so bothersome to women and are so heartbreaking is that the longer you're married to a gay man, the more of your life is dispensed of, where you can't get that time back. And my 15 years is nothing compared to some women that have been married for 30, 40, 50 years, some of them an entire life that has gone by with no hope of life in front of them because of their age, of all those years lost in a fraudulent marriage, you know?
And it is very frightening when you think about it, because over the years I've worked with so many women who have been in long-term marriages, 20, 30, 40 years. They've never known anybody but their gay husband. And that's the saddest part of all. They spent all those years not knowing and thinking this is the way life is, when it's far from the truth. That's not the way life should be.
Yeah.
And you never know because you've had no previous experience. I say a lot of women, maybe you can concur with this, women who are in their 50s, 60s, even 70s, who grew up in a different kind of generation, a lot of women were saving themselves for their marriage. You know, they weren't promiscuous. They weren't out there, you know, having sex before their marriage.
Yeah.
They came from religious backgrounds, and they were thinking they were doing the right thing. So the only sexual experience they've ever had is with a gay husband, which is at best not really great. Would you say that was probably true?
For sure. And then, you know, I hear someone say, oh, well, we had a great sex life. And I think to myself sometimes, maybe they really don't have anything else to compare it to. So
exactly.
They think it's great just because they were having any sex at all. And maybe some of them legitimately had enjoyable sex lives. But I have to say that, at least from what I can see, that's really in the minority, very much in the minority. The bulk of women just feel rejected. If they have any sex at all, it's almost as though the husband is going through the motions. They don't feel attractive to their husbands. It's almost like their husbands might have sex with them on occasion out of a sense of duty or to kind of cover up what's really going on in a private life that they're living outside of the marriage.
And so
they might have some cursory sex every now and then just so their wife doesn't suspect that something's going on. But, you know, the women that I've talked to without fail have just said it was terrible. I mean, it was awful. I thought there was something wrong with me.
I think that there are those women who think they have a good sex life because they do have nothing to compare it to. I know that I was actually active, and I always say I'm not bragging about that. I'm just mentioning that as a fact, so that I had something to compare it to. And, you know, this was not my first marriage when I married my gay husband. So at least I had previous experience even long before that marriage, too. So I knew something was
off
from the beginning.
Well, me the exact same as you. I did know what, when we say normal, what is normal sex? We don't know that, but let's just say heterosexual sex, and it's very different than being a straight wife or, you know, a straight partner of a gay man. It is very different, and I did know the difference from the start. I did know, and that created years and years and years of conflict and arguments and discussions, and because I knew that something was up. I knew something was up. We discussed it. But he lied. He flat out lied to my face about it. And that's the one of the things I just can never forgive, because I tried and I tried and I tried. And if for one moment he could have been honest, it would have changed the outcome of the demise of our marriage. I really think it would have helped with my healing greatly.
If they would have taken some responsibility at least. And that support, you know, we were recently having this conversation in our support room, where I said that I really believe in the bottom of my heart that most of these men, when they get married, they are conflicted and they are not sure about being gay because they can perform with a woman. Where I would say about 80% of the gay men can never perform. You know, they know they're very, they know who they are, they know what they can do, and they know that they're not attracted to women at all. But, you know, especially during the time when I was, you know, in the 70s, 80s, 90s, and especially when AIDS was running so rampant, nobody wanted to be gay. And if they could perform with a woman, they were hoping against hope that, you know, they would love that woman enough that those feelings would never come back. And I do believe that they were confused because they were told that gay men can't perform with women, and they could. And they could love them to the best of their ability, but they thought they fell in love, and they didn't want to be gay. So it's understandable to me how this happens. But the fact that they do so much after that point, you know, I always say I could forgive the fact you didn't know what you were and you didn't realize, you know, about gay. But after you start acting on it, and you start punishing your wife for being in the marriage with you because you don't want to be there and blaming her for everything. And, you know, some people use the learned term gaslighting her. I say gaylighting her, you know, making her think she's the crazy one. She's the one who's not happy. You know, why aren't you happy? There's something wrong with you. Did your husband do that?
Oh, well, absolutely. He thought anytime he had, like, how can I put this, a visual of me in any kind of a sexual way, it would disgust them because, you know, he wasn't attracted to a woman. But, you know, the thing about the whole performance thing that gay men can't perform, a lot of them use fantasy. And I've talked to quite a few of them that have had sex with straight women before for whatever reason, whether they were married or they just felt they had to or they were in the moment or whatever. And a lot of them use fantasy in their head. To think they're not with a woman. They pretend that they're with a man. And, you know, it's kind of a very disturbing thought. When I look back now on the times my husband and I did have sex, I'm really kind of creeped out by the fact that probably he was never thinking of me. He had somebody else in his brain when he was having sex with me. He wasn't even into me ever. Because I think he flat out knew that the moment he met me, he was gay. He just didn't want to be, gay. He just didn't, was either disgusted with himself or because of the family he grew up with or the job he had or whatever. He just knew he couldn't, and he thought anyway, he couldn't be gay. So he just pretended that he wasn't. But it is disturbing because I know that he probably never desired me sexually ever.
And for those people who never met you, Susan, of course, most people have not met you, but you are a beautiful woman of model quality. I mean, caliber.
Oh, my goodness.
So what? You are. So the thing is, I say that for the reason that you can be the most beautiful woman in the world like you are, and it doesn't matter because if they're gay, it doesn't matter if you're model beautiful. They still don't want you because you're a woman. And that's really what it's about. But the problem is that when they reject us, they take away what I call the feminine spirit that is instilled in all of us. I mean, that's the gift we have. And they start mutilating us, you know, that way. Because when they take away our, you know, they take away our desire because we start feeling ourselves that we were not wanted and that we're not good enough and that our husbands who love us so much, they don't want to touch us. There must be something wrong with us, right?
Well, of course, absolutely. And I mean, amongst so many other reasons why I think the bulk of these men are narcissists is that they know that and they continue with the charade. I mean, I had flat out discussions face to face with my husband about his, you know, when he didn't tell me, I would say his name is Matt. And I would say, Matt, when you don't tell me the truth, I have nowhere to go but to think there's something wrong with me. Do you understand that? And he full well knew that, but continued on because they're selfish and they really don't care. And it's so destructive. And, you know, I've had a lot of therapy. I've spent a lot of time, or, you know, reading your books and all kinds of things online. I've spent time, obviously, at your healing weekends with other straight wives, but as much understanding as you can about the situation and how you were being, as you say, gay-lighted or gaslighted, and how you realize that it really wasn't you after all, it doesn't magically poof disappear, and then suddenly you have all your steam back. it doesn't happen like that. Well, it takes purposeful effort to get yourself in a place where you're even accepting of yourself again, much less, you know, feeling great about yourself. I mean, that's a goal someday, but you've been chipped away at for years and years and years to the point where you just, I mean, you don't look in the mirror, you think you look good, and you might never think that you'll ever look good again. It's just a very sad way for a woman to be treated. It's truly, truly heartbreaking, and I've spoken to so many of them that just think so lowly about themselves. And Bonnie, it's so tragic. It's really tragic what these men do to women. Very tragic.
Well, not only while they're with them, but, you know, these such long-range effects when you're trying to re-enter into a new relationship, which, you know, I've been very blessed to be in one for, you know, a long period of time. But, boy, I had a struggle for many, many years just because of my insecurity and the fact that I, you know, just didn't feel good about myself. And, you know, I didn't believe the relationship was going to last because I felt so insecure. I mean, I had to deal through so many issues when it came to trust, because we lose, you know, our whole thought pattern of what is trust when we thought we were trusting someone who was just sitting there and, you know, cheating on us all the time, or cheating us out of what we deserved all the time. So I think that when you restart, I've seen so many women have problems now. Have you been in other relationships since then?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I dated one gentleman for about 11 months. And even if I had not met him right after the gay husband situation, we would have struggled because we were very, very different people. But one of the things I will share is that for the first time, of course, in such a long time, he would say things to me like, I love your body. I love the way you smell. I love the way you feel. You're beautiful. All the things I would have just died to hear when I was married, but it made me very uncomfortable. I had to really work hard to feel comfortable with that at all, because I was deprived of that for so long that I just didn't know what to do with it. Does that make sense at all?
Absolutely.
I was uncomfortable with being touched. I was uncomfortable with being complimented. I was, you know, just things like, oh, that's such a pretty dress. You look great in that dress, or whatever he would say. And he was so nice to me in that way. I mean, on the one hand, it felt so good. But on the other hand, I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't know what to say. So I realized I had a lot of work to do, and I still have a lot of work to do. And it's been years now, but I'm still not completely healed.
Why do you think it takes so long for us to heal, Susan?
Well,
or are these marriages different than other marriages?
They're different. I mean, and I, like you, was married before before my gay husband. I was married before to a heterosexual man. And I think, and I can't make sweeping generalizations about, you know, heterosexual marriage. I mean, those marriages fall apart for a million and one different reasons. And there's definitely some women that are, you know, husbands leaving for a younger woman or other types of things that leave them very much shattered. But I think in a regular marriage, you do at least have some legitimate good time with your husband, where he does genuinely love you. He does genuinely think you're attractive. You have genuine moments. And the thing about having a gay husband is from day one, it was fraudulent. And from day one, essentially, you never stood a chance of having a normal marriage you just never stood a chance, regardless of what you did. So as things progress in that marriage and things are not going well, and you know that they're not quite right, they feel wrong, they're lying to you. It's just a really systematic day-by-day chipping away at who you are. You know, am I seeing things for what they are? Am I imagining things? Am I really crazy? I mean, some of these gaslighters are really good. They really do have you believing that there's something wrong with you. Now, I ultimately think my husband left because the gaslighting wasn't working anymore. I mean, I still thought he was telling the truth for the most part, but I caught him in so many lies where I said, no, that's not what happened at all. but I think he realized that his gaslighting was failing and that I was going to out him. And I believe that that's why he left. I, of course, never was able to have an honest conversation with him ever after that to have him actually tell me the truth. So I've never been able to have that conversation. I've never been able to have any kind of an open, honest conversation about what actually transpired, and have had to put all the pieces of this nasty puzzle together on my own, you know?
Uh-huh.
I think just the longer you stay in a situation where you are meant on purpose, they make you feel insecure because that's how they get away with it.
Uh-huh.
Like you say, you don't miraculously open a door one day and walk into another world. You've lived in this fraudulent world for so long, feeling bad about yourself, that you have to work so hard just to try to be somewhat normal. We have to work so hard to be in that place. So
I
don't know.
Did you go into that marriage feeling strong about yourself, though?
You know what? It's really easy to look back and have conflicted feelings about that, but I believe that I did. And I didn't think, when I met Matt, and I met him through a fluke situation out of town where I was out of town and doing some business things, and he was out of town with some friends, and we kind of met in a restaurant, but we happened to be from the same city. So I thinking over romantically thought, oh, it was meant to be, and all this stupid thinking. Now I look back and I laugh at myself because it couldn't have been any further from the truth, you know? But I thought I had a good job. I didn't need a man to support myself. I didn't need a man to feel decent about myself. I had, you know, men that I would see occasionally when I traveled or whatever that lived in other places. And I was feeling pretty good. And when I met him, I didn't ever think that I was ever going to get married again. I thought I was in a really good place, but I thought he was cute. I thought he was nice. I thought he was kind of funny. And the worst, I think about this sometimes now and I shudder at it. I thought that he was the most trustworthy man I had ever met in my life. I truly did, Bonnie. I really did. And if you ask me, why did you marry him? I would say the number one characteristic of him was I thought he was trustworthy. And I could not have been any further from the truth. But it was because I thought he was trustworthy that I became a really good target for him. Because he knew he could, I know this for a fact, that he knew he could gaslight with me. He picked me because he knew that I was a trusting person. He knew I was. It didn't end up that way in the end because I caught him in so many lies. But I do think there's a lot of women that might end up marrying a man like this because they don't feel that great about themselves. And the fact that maybe they're not being complimented or the man does not come on to her sexually strongly, she kind of thinks, well, that's just the way it is, or that's what I deserve, or given how I feel about myself, maybe that's all I deserve. I don't really know. I can say that I don't really think I felt like that, but I do think I made a decision to be trusting. I didn't want other experiences to hurt my future relationships, and even though I had men cheat on me and my father walked out of my family to be with another woman when I was a child and all kinds of other things, I just thought, I'm not going to let them win. I'm going to trust. But that set me up to end up where I ended up, because I think I looked like an easy target for him. I do. So I can't.
Well, you probably were. You know, I think we all are. I think we're all loving, kind, good women. I think they purposely seek us out because they know that we'll accept bad behavior, that we'll keep trying harder and harder to make things right, that we'll start internalizing. Mm-hmm. And in their own minds, I don't think they're consciously doing this. I just think they're either sociopaths, narcissists, and they just feel that they can do it. I mean, I don't think they're manipulating, how am I going to make her feel lousy now? I just think they do it because that's who they are.
Yeah, and they don't.
You know, they feel trapped. They don't want to be there to start with. So rather than, look at themselves inwardly and say, wow, there's something wrong with me for wanting to do this, they look at us and say, look what we're doing to them. I mean, they totally reverse everything, wouldn't you say so?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that the bulk of them look at their wives with great disdain, because she is a symbol of the fraudulent ones that they believe they have to lead. and they don't want to be with her. I think sometimes they don't even like their wives, much less love them. They're doing it to cover their other life up, to be what their family believes they're supposed to be, what they believe the society is supposed to be. And, you know, I think that there's really this misinformation out there just because, you know, Hollywood is liberal and you get to be gay. And even today, when you look at ads for everything on television, it looks like everybody just gets to be out and gets to be gay and be who you are, and it's completely acceptable and, you know, kumbaya, let's all be happy, when in fact nothing is further from the truth. I mean, at least in the area that I live in, Central California, the bulk of gay men are not out at all. Even though you think, oh, California is completely liberal. Well, certain areas of California are, but not where I live. I mean, one of my therapists told me that she believed that 95% of all the gay men were flat out, they were not out at all. They were married in heterosexual, you know, with a heterosexual woman, because they don't think they can come out. That's the stuff of, like I say, that's the stuff of liberal Hollywood. And we do have plenty of gay men that are out in my area, but not the bulk of them. And I've talked to plenty of my gay male clients, and they are just hit on all the time. But what appear to be heterosexual men that are married with kids, and they're being hit on all the time by these men that want to have sex with them. And so it's a huge problem. It is a huge problem. It's not just simple as, hey, why don't you just come out and stop lying about it? It's just not that simple. It's very complex.
So do you think do you think times have changed, though, Susan? Do you think today, with more people coming out, that there's going to be less people feeling they need to go into a marriage?
Well, less, but I wouldn't say by any huge, massive numbers. I don't believe at all. One of the things that I learned from you early on through talking to you and our healing weekends and your various different publications and things like that, and, you know, your postings and what have you, your newsletters, is that it's not just a matter of, I don't think my family will accept me, or I don't think society will accept me, or the whatever profession or religion I'm in won't accept me. Some of these men genuinely hate themselves for being gay. They think it's disgusting. It's not like, I'm proud of who I am and I'm accepting of who I am. I just can't come out because of other factors in my life. They actually detest themselves for being gay. They think they're homophobic, but yet they're gay. And so I didn't really think about that too much. But if you hate yourself and you get married to a heterosexual woman because that's what you believe you have to do, of course you're going to look at your wife and you're not going to have warm, fuzzy feelings for her. She's just symbolic of what you feel you are forced into by yourself. You're forced into it. So are more men able to not feel like they have to get married? Sure, but I don't think it's massive amounts of numbers. I really don't. And I think that only because of gay men that I talk to today still weigh their options of, well, you know, I can get married to a straight woman. I still have that as an option. They believe that to be an option. That's a viable option. Like, I get to make a choice to do that when they know they can come out if they want to. But I still think that they think it's some kind of a safe shelter of sorts where they can kind of have their cake and eat it too. Does that make sense? Where I can go do this over here and do this thing over here with the wife and the kids and the head, you know, from the surface looking heterosexual thing. But yet I'm still going to go over there and live this separate life. And that way, like I said, I can have my cake and eat it too, but it can kind of be safe that way for whatever reason.
Yeah, they're able to compartmentalize very well. Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I still, you know, I was thinking that now with gay being more open and more out that there would be less of this. But to be honest with you, it's not. And, you know, I still get, I would say, between 10 to 14 letters every week from new women who are going through this, who are just as confused as their husbands claim to be. You know, they can't understand, especially when they're in their 20s, early 30s, and they are having sex, not much, but some, and they have children. Like, how was my husband able to make love to me? Well, was it really making love to you, or was it having sex with you? Because I differentiate between the two. And when I talk to them,
it usually
ends up having sex, not making love. But that's their norm, because a lot of them don't know any differently. It wasn't satisfying. They have to run after their husbands to get it, and they'll be thrown a bone once in a while. But, you know, they still, well, then he must be bisexual. Well, bisexual mean that he could be satisfied with you, too. Is he? Or is he not?
And I think that real true bisexuality, I think it's very small numbers. I think we call someone bisexual because they have had sex with both. Oh, they must be bisexual. But that doesn't mean that they really wanted to have sex with the opposite sex. That they just did it in the moment. They did it because I had a therapist tell me one time that the younger the gay man is, the more likely he is to have sex with a woman just because of raging hormones in him. And he'll just kind of stick it in something. And pardon me, that was his language, by the way. It was the male therapist that told me that. He said he'll even if it's a woman, he'll do it because he's just in the moment. But he really doesn't want to be having sex with her at all. And when at some point he's going to look back on that, and it's going to disgust him. He's going to not even believe that he did it. But in the moment, maybe he's drinking a lot and he's 23 years old and what have you. And the thing that I notice is that these younger men under 30 are marrying gay men, are marrying straight women within the exact same numbers, the exact same percentages and regularity as this happening 30, 40, 50 years ago. They're still getting married to women. And maybe it's because they want to have families. And they figure that this is the only way to do it. I don't know, but I don't see that is lessened. I mean, I look at couples that I know that have gotten married, and I just wince because I know he's gay, and I know it's going to end horribly. And she's just blissfully happy. I found my soulmate.
Oh,
I'm having this cute little wedding, and I'm just cringing, going, "Oh my gosh, he's so gay. This is horrible. This is terrible." So I don't really think that the act of them marrying straight women has lessened in great numbers at all, just because in some parts of society you get to come out versus yesteryear.
I think there are those men who really feel that maybe this will be the answer, and even though they have male attractions or they've acted on it and they've enjoyed it, they still want to not be gay. You know, I think it's still hard to be gay.
Right.
In a lot of places in this country. I mean, I know in the bigger cities, New York, Philadelphia, where I am, you know, L.A., San Francisco, it's easier to be gay because it's more gay-friendly and more open to that. But this is a big country that we're living in, and a lot of places aren't that gay-friendly. You know, a lot of times, you know, gay people are still harassed, discriminated against. You know, so it's so much easier if you don't have to be gay. And, you know, if you have that option, you know, I can understand why they would trying to try it, thinking that if I can perform with a woman, you know, and I love her, you know, I'm sure I'll get better at it. You know, and I think in their minds they're really hoping they will. But, you know, and sometimes I hear men say, well, when I married her, I truly loved her. And I do believe that. They didn't love her. To the best of their abilities as a gay man to love a woman, it's not the same kind of love a straight man would give you. But, you know, they try their best, but it's just not there, and they can't carry it out for that long. And that's where I say I can understand where you're trying it because you really believe you can change. You can try to fool yourself. Mm-hmm. You can't fool Mother Nature, like I always say, but you can try to, you know, change yourself. But once you know you can't, that's when you have the responsibility to say to your wife, no matter how hard it is, that I have to tell you the truth. I was hoping this would go away. I was hoping I wouldn't have these feelings, but I'm still having them. And they're not getting better. Because as they get older, they're just going to get stronger. But these men, a lot of them don't even have a conscience to do that. They're out there having sex, bringing home STDs. I would say about 20% of our women that I know of have STDs from their husbands who are out there having relationships. Do you agree with that?
Well, and you know, Oh my goodness, yes. And absolutely, and that's probably even an underestimate, because a lot of women are probably feels such shame that they don't want to admit it. And so we probably don't even have the right statistics on that. But these marriages end so poorly because these men, they've been going through the motions for so long that by the time they decide that they need to leave, they're so relieved that they almost feel giddy with joy. But then on the juxtaposition, you have a woman who has spent so many years begging, pleading, trying, just doing everything, and she's just devastated. So, I mean, it's just, this plays itself out so frequently. I'm sure you see it all the time, where the man waltzes off into the sunset, couldn't be any happier, and the woman is completely destroyed. And it is the hardest thing, and that's definitely what happened to me. And the only close to honest, and it was something that my ex-husband wrote to me in a letter when I had dragged him to marriage counseling, because I didn't even know at the time what was going on, was he wrote me a letter. He never went back to marriage counseling because the marriage counselor told him he was lying, that he hadn't been honest whatsoever. And then the next time we had a counseling session, we were going to have to talk about him, and he was going to have to be honest. Well, he wasn't going to be honest, so he didn't come back again. But he left me a letter, and one of the things he said in the letter is, "I am not going to give you hope where there is none." And I think that was the most honest thing he ever said to me, was that he knew. He knows exactly who he is. And maybe some of these men don't know who they are when they get married, or they think that the marriage will, they can change, or they can adjust, or the feelings will go away. But I flat out think a lot of these men are just flat out narcissists. They know exactly who they are from the moment the hormones kick in and they find themselves attracted to other boys versus girls. They just don't want to be it. And because they're so narcissistic, the life of the other person, meaning the straight wife, is irrelevant. She just does not matter one iota. Narcissists take from whomever will give to them until they decide that's not working for them anymore. Then they will basically discard that person and go on to another. I mean, I was married to a complete narcissist. When you look at the description of them, I mean, that's exactly who I was married to. So they go off into the sunset, happy as clams. They feel nothing for the damage they have left behind. They feel nothing. And that really totally adds to the difficulty in being able to heal, and the years and years it takes for a woman to heal because of being discarded in such a negligent fashion, and no compassion, no honesty, just not caring at all one iota for what he has done to this poor woman. And mine was no different than that. And part of my healing was to really learn about narcissism, to really understand who he was as a person, that I was just in the wrong place at the wrong time, even though I originally thought how romantically I was in the right place at the right time. Couldn't have been any more wrong. I was in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong guy. And that helps in healing. That enables you to not take it as personally, because anybody that would have been in my shoes would have been treated exactly the same, because he's a narcissist. He's going to get what he can get as long as he can get it. And then when it's not working for him anymore, he's just going to dispense and go on to the next one. And anybody who is listening to this, if they have not done a deep dive into narcissism, they really need to do so. Because for a lot of these women, they find out that they were in fact married to narcissists, and they need this information. And I'm so glad that you've included this information for the years that I've known you in the Healing Weekends and a lot of the things in your publications and newsletters. It's so important for women to understand narcissism, truly.
I'm going to tell you the one thing that offends me more than anything else, because I've worked with thousands of gay men, their coming out issues, and over 120,000 women who are going through this. And I have to say, if there's one thing that just makes me so angry, and I'm sure you can understand this, is when a man says to me and comes to me for help, and he says, "Listen, it's not the gay in our marriage that's the problem. We have so many other problems that have nothing to do with my being gay. And I just sit there like with my mouth open and I say, and I tell them the truth. I said, everything has to do with your being gay. I said, everything.
Sure.
Don't even try that has nothing to do with being gay, because the way you've conducted your life with deception, with rejection, you know, with making your wife feel inadequate, that wasn't because she was inadequate. It was because you're gay and you don't want to be married. And I said, you have to first step up to that responsibility if you're going to understand and make this agreement when you're finished with your marriage. If you want it to work where you can maybe develop some kind of friendship or relationship for the sake of the children, you have to take that responsibility. But it just really angers me when they sit and look to find complaints with their wife after they've spent and devastated her for years, turning it into something. I think that's what I resented the most, Susan, that I became somebody who I wasn't. You know, I wasn't that woman going into that marriage. I was actually a pretty strong woman at that point. And, you know, I was leading a high-power group at that time. I was taking lots of chances with lots of things, and I had a lot of inner strength. But it didn't take long to beat me down. You know, it did not take long at all. It only took a few short months for me to start doubting everything when somebody's sitting and lying to you all the time. And I became somebody who
absolutely.
I couldn't even recognize. Right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I have this theory, and I've thought quite a bit about it, that if you don't want to be in a given situation, everything about that situation is going to be processed through your own funnel and of how you perceive it. So let me give you an example. Say somebody is in a job they hate. They just hate it.
Uh-huh.
And somebody says, oh, we're going to have a company picnic on Saturday. We each need to bring some food, and we're going to have a really good time. Your attitude is going to be, oh, my God, there's a company picnic, and now I have to fake liking these people, and I don't even want to go. As opposed to, I love my job. Oh, there's going to be a company picnic. Oh, how fun. I can't wait to go to the company picnic and see everybody outside of work. It's really going to be fun. So it all depends upon the funnel your information is being processed through. So my theory about a gay man being married to a straight woman is he doesn't want to be there. So everything that she does, that she says, and that she is going to be processed through a funnel of, I don't want to be here. So it could be, for example, she cooks a beautiful dinner for him. A man who wants to be in the marriage will say, my wife, she's so nice. She cooks me a beautiful dinner every single night. A man who doesn't want to be in the marriage is going to say, oh, my God, she has to have me home for dinner, and then she gets mad when I don't come home for dinner. She's such a pain. That's just one example. I could give you 1,000 of them. But I think that's the reason why. He ends up in, whether it's on purpose in a major way or subliminally, treating his gay wife inappropriately because he doesn't want to be there. Because it doesn't matter what she does. All of that is going to be funneled through his process of, I don't want to be there. I don't want to be with her. So it doesn't matter what she does. She's never going to win. She's just never going to win. It's a hopeless situation. And a lot of the women who say, but I'm just going to really try to be with him, and I'm going to try to make it work, you don't have the power. I want to say to them, but you don't have the power to make it work. The only person who has that power is him, and he doesn't have that power because he's gay. And women still want to believe, and I get that, because they don't want to toss their marriage aside. They're afraid. I get that. When my marriage demise was met and he walked out the door, I think in that moment I would have done anything to stay married, because I was in such despair. I was willing to do anything. And I think so many women are like that, Bonnie, but we don't have the power to make a gay man happy. We just don't. And it's not on us to even try. We can't. We don't have the ability to do it. So we have to stop pressuring ourselves to think that if I only do this, if I only do that, right, then he'll be happy. Then he'll want to stay. Then he'll treat me better. It's a no-win situation. It's nearly impossible. And I realize that some people will stay married for a variety of different reasons, but the woman's never going to be fulfilled, and she's never going to feel good about herself, no matter what she does.
I think also that one of the problems that I had, that I'm feel a little embarrassed to admit, but I think a lot of us go through this. You know, I was willing to bargain well, if you could do this, like, you know, once I knew what was going on, I thought to myself, and I actually said to my ex-husband, I said, look, if once every 6 months you could go and do something and I never have to know about it, and it was in a consenting adult, because he didn't like consenting adults, he likes consenting younger people, and with the consenting adult, and I never have to know about it, then I can live with this. You know, so here I am bargaining against everything that I want to believe, but, you know, I had two little babies at that time, and the thought of having to have to leave, you know, even though I was miserable, but the thought of having to now take on the responsibility, you know, and I had one sick child, and, you know, it, I was in the hospital day and night with that, with my baby, and, you know, it was like the thought of being on my own after being beaten down for the number of years there. And it wasn't even that long. It was over 4 years of the beating, but it was such an emotional, wrenching, everyday battle. So the thought of, you know, even being on my own, I was so insecure. And then, you know, when they throw in the other stuff also, like, you know, when different points of our marriage, you said, well, if you tell me I have to leave, I'm taking those children, you're never going to see them again. You know, I was living in that kind of fear, you know, so... You get so emotionally wrapped up with these people, because some of them, like you say, the narcissists, they just don't have a clue, and they're just sitting there to make you feel miserable because they want to feel better. But, you know, sometimes you throw in a twist of people who are sociopaths, who have psychopathic things. You know, we have all kinds of gay husbands and who react all different ways. And, you know, when they threaten you or they threaten to hurt you, or take your children away from you, you know, that even makes you feel even more beaten down with nowhere to turn. And that's why, you know, this may have been misrepresented. I know when people like to use this against me, when I said during that marriage, you know, I was in such a state of, you know, it wasn't every day bad. There were some good days, there were some laughs, but I would say at least 80% of it, you know, within the first couple of years was down the drain and living in a state of limbo there. Not being who I normally would have been. But, you know, I did think about suicide. I did think about homicide. You know, I didn't see any way out of it. I just felt so trapped where I was fantasizing.
I can
maybe
relate
I
to that.
In his tank, you know.
I can relate to that, Bonnie. And I had a good job, and I didn't have small children. I can only imagine the women who, they're staying at home with four small children under the age of 10, for instance, where they don't have any source of income. They're stuck between a rock and a hard place. It's their options are limited. Their options, I mean, we always have options, but when you weigh those options, you think, well, I guess it's better to stay right where I am. At least I have a roof over my head, right? My kids are being fed. But you're right. You have those women are living in a state of limbo.
I mean, I didn't have any marketable skills. I was a high school dropout who had her GED, you know, so I didn't have any real marketable skills. And, you know, with two little babies, so I was scared. But guess what? Once he left, because he got mad thinking he could teach me a lesson and then come back a week later, but in that 1 week, I regained my total strength to tell him, no, you cannot come back. But I was in a state of financial ruin, and I became a welfare mother. And guess what? Living with nothing was better than living with him with something. Because I had my peace of mind. At least I could think straight. I couldn't think at all when I was with him. I was trying every minute to dodge, like I was running from one thing to the next thing to the next just to stay alive. So, yes, I was a welfare mother for 3 years while I snuck to school so I never would have to be in that situation again. But and I never, you know, once I years later, I had my degrees, I was ready to go. But, you know, the point is that I can understand how desolate you feel. Because these guys just make you feel that you're so worthless, that you're unable to do anything for yourself. You know, when they criticize you as a woman, it's one thing. My ex-husband criticized me as a mother. And he would tell me, you think you're a good mother? You're not a good mother. And, you know, it was devastating to me because I thought I was a good mother. You know, I loved my children.
I'm sure you were.
You know, with them all the time. But, you know, every time he would criticize me, then when he didn't, you know, when he really wanted to get to me, then he would criticize my mothering skills. So, you take all the abuse from that. The emotional abuse is so much stronger. My ex-husband never physically hurt me ever. But the mental strain and the mental abuse that I had to live with on a day-to-day basis, the fear of losing my children, if I told him he had to go, he would take the children. You know, so I did bargain, you know, hoping that if I would bargain enough, things could change. but they never get better. They change. He got once I gave him that little itch. Okay, if you do this every 6 months, it became every 6 minutes practically. You know, once you give them permission to do something, then they just go with it and they just break the boundaries and keep moving. So there's no way to bargain with this. You know, you can. I would always tell women, get yourself ready to go. Take the time that you need. You know, you don't want to rush out the door. You want to plan things. You know, see an attorney. See what your rights are. Try to go to school for a few months. Yeah. Get a skill where you can, you know, at least try to help support yourself. You know, see what, you know, what you can do. I understand you can't just walk out the door. But I always say, Susan, I think you would agree with this, you have to become emotionally free before you can become physically free. If you don't have that emotional, and I'm going to be happy after I leave, then it's going to be physically impossible to make that move.
Oh, yeah. I mean, emotional strength, and it's let me tell you, it's hard to muster in the best of circumstances. That can, it can be very, very difficult. But, you know, every woman that I've talked to that's, you know, has left the marriage and gone to the other side, so to speak, then they have the perspective what they were living in. Sometimes when women are living in it, they'll say, well, yeah, it's really, really bad, but at least I know what it is. At least I've already been living this way for 20 years. I can live for 20 more years. And they don't realize until they get out of it. Well, and you've said this a million times, right, in the healing workshops and in other venues and certainly in your radio show, that until you get out of it, you don't realize sometimes what oppression you were even living under. You knew it wasn't right, and you didn't feel good about yourself, and you didn't think your husband was very nice to you or very compassionate towards you. And you weren't being fulfilled, but you didn't realize really how bad it was until you got out of it. And you saw another perspective of, I can come home every day and I can live in peace. I can come home and I can feel good about myself and not have this other person putting me down all the time, whether it's in your face or mine was seriously passive aggressive, which is a form of torture. It is a form. Passive aggressiveness is so destructive because you don't even know it's really happening, but it slowly chips away at you till you barely have a shell of yourself left with these people. It's oh my goodness, it's so disastrous. But yeah, but women, I mean, women, the thing we know about women, Bonnie, is women are strong. We are stronger than men on so many levels. The only way we're not stronger than men is physically. Every other way, we are stronger than men. And women who say, oh, I can't do it, absolutely they can do it. They have it in them to do it. I mean, you're a testament to that. Like you say, having been a high school dropout with a GED to be where you are today, you're teaching other people, you know, in your line of work, and then what you've done with all the straight wives. I mean, you probably never thought you would be where you are today 30 years ago, ever, or 20 years ago. Never. But all women have it in them. They just have to make the decision to do it and take it day by day and not let it overwhelm them, because there's a better way to live than the way they're currently living.
You know, I say, Susan, that every day you lose in a marriage to a gay man, you know, you lose a day of your life that you can never get back. And I think that's the one thing I have to feel good about, that I didn't lose the time that our women are losing. And I can understand so well why they're afraid to leave, because it just beats you down so badly. And sometimes you just don't know how to leave. You know, they have you under such control. Or they have you so beaten down that you just accept, well, this is my life. But by the time they're ready to talk to me, that means that they need to find some way out. And that's what I like to tell women, that there's always a way out. You just have to find the way. And the one thing I love about you is the support you're always willing to give to women. And we have some other wonderful, wonderful women in our support network. I think the best women that anybody could ever ask to meet. And, you know, those who will support you, so you never have to feel like you don't have support. If you write to me and tell me, Bonnie, I need help, you're going to get it. I mean, you know, I'm more than happy to give it to you. I'm more than happy to get some of our women to give you that support that you need, because I don't think it's easy to do this on your own. This is not like the divorce of other marriages, you know, when you're married to a gay man. There's so many different layers. And I'm really hoping, Susan, not to impose on you, but you're such a beautiful speaker, and you can articulate these ideas, that maybe, you know, you'd come back again in a couple months just so that we could talk about some of these methods and some of the obstacles that women face when they're trying to leave and how we can, you know, try to get past them. You know, such beautiful ideas. You're able to, like I say, articulate it so well. But I think that without support, it's really hard to get past these marriages. Would you agree?
Oh, it is. And the best thing of all is to have a support group. It's like any traumatizing event in our lives, anything that happens in that way. I mean, that's why there's support groups for everything under the sun, is that you just have to have somebody that validates how you feel and validates your difficulties so that you don't feel so alone. And I mean, and the collectively, the group of women getting out of these marriages, I can only imagine the book you could probably write of how to get out of it with all kinds of helpful tips and how to do this and how to do that, whether it's how do you handle kids or how do you even get physically out of the house that you're in, or how do you get on your own 2 feet financially, or, you know, all of the obstacles that a woman are, you know, going to have to deal with. Just the vast number of women that you are connected with. I mean, I just, anybody who is listening or will listen to this in the future, they just need to know that there's just a massive number of women that would put their own lives on the line to help them. And I truly mean that, because I've seen them. I've seen them in action.
Uh-huh.
I've seen women fly across the country to be with another woman to help her.
Not only that,
remarkable,
there are women part of this
women.
Network are from all over the world. Not, you know, in our network, we have women from Europe. We have women from South America, Central America, you know, from India. We have women from all over the world who are, you know, there and willing to help other women, because they're living that recovery and they're living that life,
mm-hmm.
and they want to share with others. And unfortunately, there's so few people who really understand this. Unless you've been through it, it's really hard. I mean, people can be sympathetic and they can be empathetic to a point, but then they say, all right, it's enough time, you know, like, let's move on. It's time to get over it. Right?
Snap out.
We hear that all the time.
Snap out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. And women will know that, and some do snap out of it, but the majority of them is something that they will carry through the rest
mm-hmm.
of their lives, the entire rest of their lives. They're going to be carrying this burden, and their load will be lightened as time progresses and they get help and they do different things. But there is nothing like the support of the vast number of other women, unfortunately, that have been through this. It's not a club you want to belong to, but the fact that you are in it, use it to help
mm-hmm.
other people. That's just the name of the game.
And, you know, that's the whole thing. It's such an isolating feeling. I think you would agree with this, that when you feel it, when you're going through this, you think, oh, my God, how could this happen to me? I'm married to a gay man. I must be the only one. And even if I tell women there's millions of us in this country, millions, you still feel so isolated with it, because it's so different than any other feeling. So,
oh, yeah. And people don't know what to say. They have no idea what to say to you.
Mm-mm. They don't. And that's why, until you understand it yourself, and it's so confusing and you feel so mixed up. Even the other day, I had a wonderful conversation with a wonderful young woman who said, I'm just hoping you're going to tell me my husband's bi. And I said, I wish I could, but I'm not going to tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
Just dealing with that information. Unfortunately, we're running out. We're on our last moment's time. So, Susan, I just want to thank you so much for shedding the light to so many women as so beautifully like you do. Nobody can really articulate it the way you do. So I really appreciate your being here again. And I will impose on
you're
one more time or 10 more times or whatever it takes.
You're absolutely not imposing. You're not imposing. And I thank
all
you
right.
for
well,
all
you know,
of
I
what you
love
do.
You.
I've said it a million times. You're the best.
Thank you so much. And you know I love you. So to
I love
all
you. Love
our
you
women,
too.
Thank you. To all of our women listening tonight, have a wonderful week. If you need help, write to me at bonkaye@aol.com. And also feel free, if you want to talk, you know, with Susan or get in touch with her, let me know. All right, Susan, I'll talk to you again soon. Love you.
Thank you. Love you too, Bonnie.
All right.
Take care of everyone listening.
Thank you. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.